Well, good morning, everyone. I would like to share a few thoughts and lessons that I've learned over the years in regard to prayer, and most of them, making lots of mistakes and having lots of wrong ways to think about prayer. And two things especially that I'd like to focus on are what is the purpose of prayer, and what part does it play in the Christian's life? And then also, how do we think about God answering prayer? How do we think about God answering prayer? So I'd like to start with two stories from a while ago, two prayers that I prayed, and I'm just going to tell you about the prayer that I prayed. And then at the end, I'll tell you how God answered those, and you can be thinking about those stories in context as we think about some of these things. So many moons ago, when I was at IGO, I was with my accountability group, and we were doing some prayer walking through some Buddhist temples, and we were just praying for the local people. And for that God would come and bring his kingdom there. And this prayer popped into my head that I prayed, and it was something along the lines of, God, I pray that the Buddhas would fall down just like you did with Dagon and the Philistines, and that this would result in people seeing that these are not true gods. Another time, I was with Chris in the Middle East with some teams, and we were in a very corrupt country, and we had spent one night at a hotel that we just walked up to and got rooms for everyone in the team and spent the night there. They had enough rooms for us for one night, but they didn't have enough rooms for us for the second night, so the hotel arranged to take us to book us at another hotel, a friend of theirs, that was maybe a 5-10 minute walk away. But this was an old city with a labyrinth of streets, and it was before Google Maps was easily available, and so it was really hard to give directions. So the hotel front desk clerk graciously offered, he'll walk us over to the new hotel. And so he led us, and we were all carrying our suitcases through the streets and going along, and a policeman stopped us and detained the front desk clerk and took his identity papers and said, I'm going to take these to the police station. You need to come to the police station in an hour and pay a big fine because you were walking with tourists and you don't have your tour guide license. And so the front desk clerk was very distraught and unhappy about this. And Chris had already been sharing the gospel with him. And so when we got to the other hotel, the whole team gathered around him, and we put our hands on him, and we prayed for him, and we prayed, God, please take away this problem that came as a result of him being kind to us. Please take away this problem. So those are the two prayers that I prayed, and so be thinking about how you think God answered those prayers. I think one of the most helpful things for me in understanding prayer is looking to what Jesus gave as the analogy and reality of God as our Heavenly Father. And just thinking about how my Father responds to requests. He's a very kind, loving, generous Father who reflects the heart of God very well. And just the way that he responds with generosity, but also always wanting to make sure that I get what is ultimately best for me rather than just giving me things. And so that is something that has impacted me a lot. And of course, being a father myself now brings it kind of to the next level. So something Bella likes to do when we go to visit Grandpa Smucker's in Pennsylvania is ride around the farm with Grandpa on the side-by-side. And those of you who were at our wedding saw Grandpa Smucker's farm. We had the wedding up on top of the hill, but she rides all over there with that, and that's always a highlight of her trip to Pennsylvania. So we've been renovating our house a little bit, just fixing up some stuff, and making a lot of trips to Lowe's and Home Depot. And anyone that's been to Lowe's or Home Depot recently knows that Lowe's has a whole bunch of side-by-sides out front. So one time when we were going into Lowe's, Bella says, "Daddy," and she, you know, she's recently learned that we can buy things with money at stores. And so this is, of course, there's a lot of things in stores that just seem very tantalizing. And, "Daddy, can you buy me a side-by-side?" Well, okay. So I fired back, "Why don't you ask Grandpa Smoker to give you a side-by-side for your birthday?" And she said, "Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to ask him for a birthday gift of a side-by-side when I turn 4. And I then took mercy on Grandpa Smoker and explained to her that, yeah, probably he won't give her a side-by-side for her birthday, and we probably won't buy a side-by-side for her either, because, you know, we don't have a farm, and we just have a little piece of land, and we don't really, it's not really very practical, and they're really expensive. And we, if she wants a side-by-side, she is going to have to grow up and get a job and work really hard and save money and buy a side-by-side for herself." And so she said, "Okay, when I'm a big mama, I'm going to save up money and buy a side-by-side." So that went on her list of things to do when she's a big mama, which is an ever-growing list. But that just, obviously, the parallels are clear. We often ask God for really off-the-wall things that he knows that probably won't do us a whole lot of good in ways that are really helpful to our long-term success. As a 16-year-old, I prayed for some pretty crazy stuff that in hindsight was a terrible idea. You know, there were girls I prayed that would like me that I'm glad God didn't answer the prayer on, among other things. So I was just discussing with some of these things about prayer with some brothers recently. And one of their questions was, "Well, with unanswered prayer, are we not praying intensely enough for them?" And I think it's good for us to put ourselves in God's shoes sometimes with intensity of prayers. I love when Bella really shows passion and asking for something and really pursues it, and I can tell that her heart's really in it. That changes some things. But then there can be some sort of annoyance in begging for something that where the answer has been no on. And so I'm not professing to understand all the balance of all this, but I really would call us to put ourselves into God's shoes. And and I think one of the most important things about prayer is understanding what God's heart is for prayer and for his children, and aligning our values with his. So as we pray, I think a crucial part of the process is going into it with humility and an awareness that we are children and our understanding is very small, and God's understanding is incredible, omniscient, knows exactly what we need. And just going with that humility and that submission to God, saying, "This is what I want. I'm pouring out my heart to you. These are my desires. Please meet these desires, but I want to know how to best accomplish this. I want to know what your plan and vision is." On the way home from the Christmas parade last night, we were driving down Main Street at 41 miles an hour, and Beth put her hand on my shoulder and started to pray for me that that the devotions this morning would go well and that God would inspire that. And she had just said a few words of the prayer when it became obvious that a more urgent request that she might have considered sharing with God was that I would slow down and that the HPD officer wouldn't give me a ticket, which he didn't. And in that case, obviously, it wasn't that her prayer was not aligned with God's will, it was, but there's often times that there are more urgent things that that we focus on the wrong things often in asking God. not that those are bad things or that those are, I mean, it was a very, it was probably more important than me not getting a ticket. But we're not omniscient like God. Another thing that often happens is Bella comes to me, you know, Daddy, can I please have some chocolate chips? And sometimes the answer is yes, and often the answer is no, and often I know that if the answer is no, there might be some wailing and really heartbroken, you know, response. And as a father, I know that the chocolate chips will only give a short burst of pleasure, and the wailing mostly comes from needing a nap or needing, you know, further character development or further emotional control, whatever, you know. The chocolate chips are really not the problem. The problem is much, much deeper. And as a father, I don't want to paper over the problem with chocolate chips. I want her to take a nap. But it is not nearly as pleasant. She's at the stage where she doesn't like to take naps. So we often ask God for the wrong things. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. James 1:2-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That not lacking anything really puts a different spin on when God promises that we can ask him and that we won't lack anything. What he's saying here is that we won't lack anything of the trials that are needed to give us truly good things. So that's a totally different mindset shift, as we often go to God asking, please take away these symptoms. Please take away these symptoms. Please take away this short-term pain. When I believe we should be asking God, please fix the underlying problem so that these symptoms can go away. And now this doesn't mean that we shouldn't pour out our hearts to God and ask for a relief of symptoms. We see Jesus's example in the garden where he was praying, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And there we see that Jesus was asking for relief from symptoms, even though he knew it was God's will that he go through with that. But yet he was expressing his heart honestly to God and asking for that, but he was acknowledging that he was submitted to God's will for the greater good. And I think that's a really core attitude that I need to take when I come to God in prayer, is just realizing that sometimes the better thing for me is through the path of pain. And that whole thing of your not my will but yours be done is not a, it's not a cop out or a lack of faith or a sort of thing where, well, we know God can do it, but we don't think he will, and so we just put on that disclaimer and whatever. But it is, it just needs to be a heartfelt acknowledgement that we are submitted to whatever God has in mind, even if that's not our first choice for the path forward, I think. I guess my final point, I'll just run over the things so far. We often ask for things that don't make sense. We ask for things that temporarily cover up the real problem rather than fixing the real underlying need. We often ask God for things of low importance when there are much more urgent things he wants to give us and wants us to learn. Painful things cause us to reflexively ask that God stop the pain, when instead we should be asking God to quickly teach us what we need to learn so that the pain isn't necessary. Prayer should be us having a conversation with God, asking him questions, asking him to send answers through his Spirit, his Word, and through others. Prayer should be the honest sharing with God our deepest desires, but also with the constant posture of wanting God to teach us through his yeses and his noes. If we are constantly frustrated by unanswered prayer, our reflexive response should be to ask, how am I out of sync with God's value and vision for our lives? And that's just the final thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, is that we often look around us to what other people are doing wrong or to what we think God is doing wrong. And I especially have this tendency. And it has served me very well to reflexively assume that there's something wrong with my thinking and with the way that I'm thinking about things. And when I go to God in conversation, asking him to reveal to me how he feels about something, that conversation often brings a lot of clarity. And it's the same way a conversation with my wife often brings a lot of clarity, or with friends, in ways that connects our theoretical knowledge with our actual situation. That is really valuable. So back to the two stories at the beginning. God answered the prayer for the hotel man. While we were sitting there in the lobby praying, his phone rang, and it was his boss calling. And his boss had gone down to the police station, and I don't know if he barked at them and got them to stop the nonsense, or whether he gave them a little bribe or what. But in any case, the matter was totally settled, and the man was just so grateful. He was literally crying and was like, "This is amazing! Prayer actually works." And then he immediately jumped to, "Can you pray that I can get a car? I really want a car." And isn't that so often our response when God does something? In fact, the other prayer request went similarly. A few weeks later, there was a earthquake, and a big ancient Buddha fell down and shattered. And I was really proud and high on my horse, and I was a real prayer warrior, you know, accomplishing things, and I thought about all the other things I could pray for, and all those fell flat, and God said no. And, you know, we often, when God answers prayer, we often, in our carnal ways, go to the wrong places with them. The one thing that has stuck out to me with many answered prayers in the Middle East is that God really answers prayer to advance his kingdom for his glory, where people have not been given other options and other clarity, and it's just all part of his promise to reveal himself to all who seek him. And he really, really works in those cases. So those are just a number of random thoughts and lessons that I have learned about prayer over the years, and hopefully that can be helpful. Let's just end with a word of prayer and proceed to Sunday school. Father, thank you so much for your incredible Father love for us, and how you delight to give us good gifts, and how you care about our holistic, long-term well-being in how you grant us requests. And thank you that we can just rest in your in your love, and rest in trust in your goodness, and help us to learn from you through prayer, and help us to approach you with humility and a willingness to learn, and a boldness to share how we're feeling, but an openness to listening and hearing from you and from others, which is often how you speak to us, and through the Holy Spirit. Pray that we would have a really good Sunday morning here. I pray that we would learn a lot from the Sunday school lesson, challenge each other, and build each other up, and be with the one who leads share time and brings the message and leads singing as well. And just pray that that would all be to your glory and to building up the church. In Jesus' name, amen.